I just had a really quick point about verse 20 in the chapter that we're reading. It says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. And often a misconception is, as the believer is being used by the Lord, and I've seen this on my campus, that some say, well, if I do an honor to the Lord, that he owes me. Or it is, or if I do an honor to the Lord, that this is my self-working in my own life. But if we turn to Romans chapter 9, and a really quick note in verse 23, it says, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory. And so, as vessels being used by the Lord, it is through his preparation that we are able to be used, and it's by his grace and his mercy that he puts us in the position to bring glory into his name.
Well, now I think this is a very key and important verse. In the first letter, you'll notice that we had the house of God. Here we now have the term, but in a great house. And so this is a different perspective. Here we have, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. So in the house of God, we have the understanding of that which is true. Right? In the great house, we have this mixed company. The true and the false. And let us remember the verse before that says, the firm foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. But in this great house, that's what it's grown up to be, there is profession, the true and the false. Vessels, not only now, vessels of gold and of silver, but these are things of wood that breaks down, the earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. We are there in this mixed company. And we want to be those young people who know the word of truth, who keep that which has been entrusted to us, to live out these things in a way that is a testimony to the Lord, that we are those who are vessels of honor. And if we are vessels of honor, we'll find also that we are fit. We are available, useful to the master. So someone else is going to enlarge on this, but I want us to see the difference between the first letter, the house of God, the pillar and ground of truth, pristine. And now what it has grown up into is this great house, a mixed company, mixed character, true and false. Vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor.
You know, I think a crucial point, I believe it's a right desire and the desire of every Christian to want to be used of the Lord in a measure which he could use you. And one of the most vital things that I ever come face to face with is that our Lord uses clean vessels. I gave this example last year. I think it merits, again, it helps us to understand. You're coming down I-77 to Bluefield, and Chuck and Karen, we have an open house. We invite you to come and spend a little time with us. And you get there just in time for supper, and we tell you, you know what? I'm sorry, we didn't have a chance to wash the dishes last night, and we're going to put them back on the table, and there may be some scraps of food on them or such, but don't you worry about that. And what would you think? Think, what is wrong with this family? Okay? They're putting dirty glasses and dirty silverware up in front of me. You know, a piece of silver that has dirt on it is still silver. A gold vessel, and these are vessels. They're seen as that which contains something that is used for the master's use. He directs the use of those vessels. He decides, I'm going to pick this one this time, or I'm going to pick her this time for this service that they've got. That first essential quality is that that vessel, if it's gold or silver, must still be a clean vessel. Emil brought before us the music, the internet, the things we read. The things we read, the things we spend our time on. Am I picking up that which is defiling? Do you know what? I'll carry it right into the meeting. Do you know what I take into the meeting? Exactly what I've been during the week. And if I have been in the field of Boaz, it will be easily seen when I'm in the assembly. If I've been in Egypt, I won't have to tell anybody. They'll already know. You what?
Your accent will show it if you were in Egypt.
There's a question that's been just passed forward. Just read it. Can't vessels of clay or wood be vessels of honor used in areas where the ones of gold or silver may not be practical?
I look at it personally in its context. And I think that when I get into the context of this verse, I begin to see the Lord setting before me that which is enduring. We think of gold, okay? It's the most incorruptible metal that we have today. I think the Lord uses gold and silver. I just go back to the tabernacle again. Do you remember seeing clay? And yeah, obviously there is wood there. But this is that which endures. It is that, again, which has been refined. It has been through the fire in such a way that its value is seen by the testing process that it has been through. That's not a new question. That's questions been asked many times. I don't make a great big issue over it. I'm not going to say much more on it. I think that the best thing to do is to see the context in the way it's used. John, you were going to say.
And I think in the context, and that's the key. Where we have here what the scripture is trying to bring forward to us is that now we have this great house and he's directing our hearts not to look at how we might be, take a lower place, not how we might take a place within this great house, where, it's just a vessel of dishonor is good enough to me. The standard is Christ. It's his name. And he's saying to us, you as faithful men, now are you a vessel to honor? Taking the higher place, taking that place that is honoring to Christ. And what does he have for me? What is the path for me that he wants me to take? You know, I think as we go all the way back to where we started in Exodus 32. And just apply this verse to Exodus 32. And here you have the assembly in the wilderness, okay? The redeemed people in the wilderness, and God was in the midst of them. Let's say, by application, that was 1 Timothy, chapter 3, God's house. But now, all of a sudden, we've taken and brought into the midst of that a golden calf. Where did that golden calf come from? Egypt. And where's this great house of 2 Timothy? What's the characteristic that it has taken on? It has taken on the character of Egypt. It's taken on the character of the world. That's what's come into the great house. Now, what's my place in this great house? And in the text here is directing our thoughts and our path to the path that is a path of honor and separation unto Christ,
Not unto what would be satisfying and the standard that would be some other level that would be set by a man, but would be the level that would be set by Christ and the path where he is the one and the only one that's glorified.
That's actually a good point that I want you to hold that thought in your mind. We're going to stand up. We're going to sing a hymn. And then we're going to come back. And I want to give a couple of minutes because I see there are a couple of comments for those who have a question or a comment to ask or to make the comment, because I want to link, we want it together to link what Brother John has just said about this matter of purifying yourself, and then as Brother Chuck will lead us on to Hebrews chapter 13. So Andrew, you have a...
367 verses 1 and 6, the first and last verse.
Three, one more time.